Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert, and you're listening to the Rockin' Coasters podcast. And today we're talking about day three of our epic trip from Seattle to Dallas to attend Podcast Movement 22. And let's kick it off.
Welcome to the Rockin' Coaster Podcast, presented by First Paw Media. Whether your favorite is a Giga, a Steel Dive, or old Woody roller coasters are your thing, or you're a fan of classic rock, hard rock, or grunge, we talk about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country in search of the best roller coasters and music festivals. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert.
This is Michelle.
And we are talking about the summer leg of the 22 Rockin' Coasters Tour Across America. Michelle, we are knee-deep into this. We're traveling today, in terms of the podcast, from Moab to Santa Rosa, New Mexico. Before we jump into what we did, what about that long, extended drive through nowhere?
You know, I refer to it as Mario Kart. There was a lot of road obstacles, a lot of potholes, a lot of speed trap hazards. And, you know, you could only, it said you could go 70, but you really couldn't safely because of the road. And you definitely had to slow down every 30 or 40 miles because of a little town, even if the town was pretty much unpopulated.
And we're going to get into that in just a second. But if you listened to our show yesterday, you know that we stayed in Moab last night. We stayed at the Bighorn Lodge. Pretty comfortable room, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I highly recommend it. It was a lot of fun. It's a quirky little place in the middle of town, pretty much. And we got it for a pretty decent price, and we enjoyed it. It was quiet and comfortable.
The beds were nice.
Yes, the beds were nice.
All right. So today, or yesterday, since we're recording a day later, we visited Four Corners. And, of course, this is on the bucket list for a lot of travelers. But it's not only out of the way, but not very populated when we got there, was it?
It's way out of the way. And it, in terms of national monuments and what people kind of have in their mind of what a national monument is, this fell short. And I was saddened by that because the Navajo tribe does an excellent job with maintaining and the upkeep and ownership of that monument. But shame on us for not doing something better.
What was interesting about it, as we said, it is in the middle of nowhere. And for folks that may be listening outside of the United States, the Four Corners is what it is. It's where four corners of four states connect. Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona, and you can literally stand in the middle of it. It's on sacred land, as they say, for the Navajo Nation. And one of the things that you first see when you pull in, of course, you pay your entry fee. I believe it was $8 a person, but there's a sign that says no cremated remains allowed. So you're not allowed to go there and scatter any of your ashes. I know that's a big deal for Native American cultures. But when you get there, it sort of looks like other national monuments, a little bit like Mount Rushmore in terms of the setup. What's kind of cool about it, as we said, it's four corners, and each corner of this spot, there are spots for vendors. So on the Arizona side, there's a group for vendors, Colorado side, etc. And Michelle and I took a walk around all four corners and checked out some of the Native American crafts. Did you see anything that caught your eye?
I absolutely did. I really was taken in by the Christmas ornaments. They were bulbs that had been handmade and then hollowed out with dream catchers on them, and they were very cool. What I did notice also, there was a lot of representation for the New Mexico, Arizona, and Utah sides. There was very few representation craftsmen for the Colorado side.
Yeah, I wonder why that is. Of course, it's the same distance from anywhere for any of those folks that live there. But we got our requisite picture of Michelle standing in all four corners. You can check that out over on our socials. Just search First Paw Media. And then afterwards, we went over and had lunch, and we had fry bread and Navajo tacos, as they're called. I've had fry bread several times. I really like it. It's sort of like a sopapilla, and mine had cinnamon and sugar and honey on it. I thought it was awesome. Had a nice big watermelon, raspberry, lemonade, iced tea, or lemonade. And Michelle, you had the taco. Tell us about that. I know it was your first time.
It was the first time I ever had a Navajo taco or fried bread taco. And I really enjoyed it. It was very satisfying, surprisingly delicious. It's basically served with wet pinto beans, ground beef, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, and a salsa, and it was very good.
It was. I'm not a fan of beans, so I went with the more dessert route, but I know Michelle enjoyed it. So after our short visit to Four Corners, we were there probably about 45 minutes or so. Then we headed our way towards Albuquerque, and as we said at the top of the show, it literally is in the middle of nowhere. I have a bone to pick, if you will, with GPS, but that's a story for later on. But what's interesting about...
I don't know, Robert. I think today's story, it should be prefaced about the GPS problem.
Yes, that's coming up. But what's interesting is, as you're working your way through New Mexico, you're literally skirting and on parts of the Navajo Nation, one of the largest Indian reservations, Native American reservations in this country. And it's kind of sad to see just a lot of the homes are in disrepair. It's kind of a rough place, isn't it?
Well, so we lived in Colorado for 15 years. And before that, I lived in Oklahoma. And I recall when we moved from Colorado or from Oklahoma to Colorado, and we drove through some of those desolate areas of Texas and northern New Mexico and even southern Colorado. And those places always seem to be in a bit of disarray and disenfranchised, which is sad because there's a lot that we could do to make those areas of the country better. But as always, the focus is on the larger cities.
Yes, so speaking of larger cities, the largest town on the Navajo Nation is Farmington, New Mexico. It's probably, it's definitely a smaller town, probably 25, maybe 30,000 people. But we don't get to see much of it because the way that the GPS took us, it drove us around everywhere. We were on every back road imaginable. And I say that because this is sort of a running deal with this trip so far, is I remember a story a couple of years ago. It happened in Alaska, as a matter of fact. One of the tourists came up to Alaska in a rental car and went over to Whittier. It's a kind of a coastal community there south of Anchorage. And he was following his GPS turn by turn by turn by turn. And it actually took him right into the ocean. And you can say what you will about the driver, but we have really become reliant on GPS for our directions. And we talked about in yesterday's show the triptychs from AAA, but this is a new way of traveling in terms of, not a new way for us, but a new way in terms of just really going out of the way, trying to miss things that... the GPS gods are telling us to miss, whether it be road construction.
Well, they're telling you to miss it, in my opinion, because they are constantly shoving that fastest route down your throat. And then we get indoctrinated into the fact, oh yeah, I want to be on the fastest route. It's got to be the most thoroughfare. It's probably the more maintained. When truth be told, it's not usually the thoroughfare. It's not usually the fastest route. It's only considered fastest because it takes you out of traffic.
Yep. Yep. And out of the city. So if you need to stop for gas or grab a bite to eat or just stretch your legs, if you're taking these quote unquote fastest routes through really rural parts of the United States, you can really have a chore on your hands for those necessities. So our goal was to go from Moab to Albuquerque, and it's supposed to be about a 400-ish mile route.
388.
It was supposed to take us about 5 hours with our stop in Moab and a mishap with the Rockin' Coasters.
Well, no, with our stop in the Four Corners. That was
Four Corners and a technical stop for a mishap with our SSL for this very website, rockincoasters.com. We had to spend 45 minutes on the phone with GoDaddy in one of the little towns that had cell service. It ended up taking us almost 11 hours to go that 382 miles just because of that, all that stop and going that we're going through and the trucks and all that.
Well, and then it got worse when we hit Albuquerque, because then you ended up having to deal with construction traffic from 5 lanes to 1 lane, rush hour traffic on a Friday evening, and then it was pouring rain, monsoon, and so we just went ahead and took the additional 60-ish miles into Santa Rosa.
Yeah, our plan was to stay in Albuquerque, and as we said yesterday, we did not have any hotels booked for this portion of the trip, and we wanted to jump into a place that had Wi-Fi so we could get a little bit of work done. It, and we picked a Waffle House in eastern Albuquerque. And when we pulled in, it was literally a homeless encampment, wasn't it?
Yeah. And let's just say that we got back on the highway and headed out to Santa Rosa to a Denny's.
Yes, Denny's. There are Denny's everywhere, of course. Everybody knows that. And if you are a road warrior, you've probably stopped a time or two at a Denny's, but I'd never been to a Denny's Donuts. It's sort of like a McDonald's-sized Denny's, and it was right there off the highway, right outside of Albuquerque, but it was a different type of Denny's, wasn't it?
No. I think no. I think Denny's is... the staff was really nice. The food was decent, but Denny's is gross. Denny's is just gross. I'm just going to say it.
I'm talking about the setup, the way it was set up.
It was still sticky. Everything was just gross. It was gross.
So we had Denny's, got a little bit of work done on the computer.
Let me just add here. Robert doesn't eat breakfast for dinner, you guys. And we haven't been to a Denny's in at least a decade. So we were taken aback by this whole setup. And then he went ahead and ordered breakfast. So he had two hits against him on this leg of the trip. Mario Kart Roadway and Denny's breakfast for dinner.
So as Michelle mentioned a couple of minutes ago, it was monsoon season, as they were calling it on the Weather Channel here in this part of the country. Very heavy downpour, lots of broken down cars. Of course, the truckers are going as fast as they possibly can through Mario Kart. So we decided to head about 60 or 70 miles or so east of Albuquerque and found a nice La Quinta Inn in Santa Rosa, New Mexico. We got there relatively early, around 7 or 8 o'clock, and we thought, hey, we could pull in here. La Quintas are typically good places to stay, nice clean rooms, great Wi-Fi. But as soon as we pulled in and checked in, there was an issue with the Wi-Fi. And I don't know. I've stayed in a lot of hotels in my day, and hundreds of nights of hotels. And I don't think I've ever had the front desk clerk come into the room and try to get the Wi-Fi working. That was a...
Well, definitely not while we're both in our pajamas. So, not only that, but you failed to mention that this La Quinta was under remodeling, which was a good thing because what we saw where they hadn't remodeled was definitely needing remodeled. Our room was great. It was clean. It had been remodeled. Everything was fine except for, like you said, the Wi-Fi. And so I had to call and she came up and had her boss, the owner, on speaker in our room.
We did not get the Wi-Fi worked out. And if you know anything about recording podcasts, it takes a heck of a lot of bandwidth to do so. And sadly, we did not get this episode recorded there at the La Quinta. Our goal was sort of lofty when we started this trip. We were going to make sure that we did a daily show here on the Rockin' Coasters podcast. And we're doing that, except, of course, this one is a day behind. But we had a nice night.
I gotta say, all the times we have struggles in Alaska because of our wireless internet speeds and flyover small aircraft and dogs and all the other things that go on, for you to have found the one place on our trip with the crappiest internet service.
Yeah, they even said, hey, make sure you make it right for these folks with the Wi-Fi.
It wasn't their fault.
But will you do us a favor and call tech support for us? Because we've never had anybody call tech support. And we called tech support.
And tech support has wonderful hours.
8 to 4?
No. 10 to 4, Monday through Friday. And this was Saturday night.
Yes. So... There we have it, guys. That's day 3 of our trip from Seattle to Dallas on the summer leg of the Rockin' Coaster Tour across America. We will be back tomorrow. Michelle, take us away.
Thanks for listening to Rockin' Coasters with Robert and Michelle for First Paw Media.